Ukraine's army chief has warned that his forces are facing one of the most powerful Russian offensives since the start of the war. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, what are you hearing there today?
Well, Bob, at the moment, I'm hearing relatively peaceful. It's calm. I don't hear very much, but literally over the weekend, we had air raid alarms almost, just a few hours after I spoke with you on Friday. The air raid alarms began to ring out in Kyiv, and it was one of the heaviest, most sustained drone attacks, Russian drone attacks upon Kyiv since 2022. And again, these are drones that are produced or designed and produced in Iran. So Iranian drones attacking this European city of Kyiv, and it was madness. In fact, I still hear the echoes of those drones, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. And it's, very little sleep for most people in this city. So very sustained drone attack over the weekend. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the news from the front is difficult. First, there's something to put in perspective. I mean, back in August, if you go back and, look at the headlines in August, the anticipation was that this key supply city of Pokrovsk, that city whose name means the protection of the Virgin Mary, that city was going to fall in any really, within days. That was what people were thinking in August. That was what the media was reporting. And Pokrovsk has still not fallen. The Russians bomb it pretty much every day. They send drones to hit the Ukrainian soldiers there every single day and night. And the Russians are moving toward it. But Ukrainians have, against the odds, once again, been able to hold that territory. But in the past about 4 or 5 days, the Russians have it seems that they've made more territorial gains in just that small space of time in less than a week than they have during the rest of this year. So we do see an increased pace there. And then, of course, there's, the very unsettling news that North Koreans are, they're here. I mean, they're right now, according to all reports, the North Korean soldiers are on Russian soil. They're in that region of Russia that into which the Ukrainians made an advance in August, and many people think that Ukrainian incursion into Kursk, did slow down Russia's advance in the east. But now Russia has had time to adapt. There was no response from the White House or the West, really, not even a congratulations, really, for Ukraine in making that incursion into Russia, the first such incursion since World War II. So Ukrainians opened that window, and now it's, on the edge of being lost. And North Koreans are there. And whether it's White House spokespeople or United Nations Secretary General, they express concern about this. But, they all kind of say, oh, well, we don't know what they're doing yet, so we just have to wait and see. And Ukraine does not have, again, this permission to use precision American weapons to hit those North Korean soldiers. They have to wait until the North Koreans enter into Ukrainian territory. And, I remember, I'm sure everyone remembers this, several weeks ago, there was a big, kerfuffle about whether or not people were eating dogs and cats in a city in Ohio. Well, there are people eating dogs now on European soil because the North Koreans are bringing their canned dog food with them. And in fact, the Russians have been on Russian social media channels. They've been complaining about this. As soon as they discovered that the North Koreans eat dogs, the Russians were offended. I think the Ukrainian response is you couldn't have better company. The Russians and North Koreans, the people that would eat dogs and the people that, are attacking Ukrainians every single day. But, this is just, in some ways, people have some dark humor about it, but it's a reminder that, on European soil, North Korean soldiers are preparing to make another invasion. And I think it probably would be good if I explained to you a bit of what it was like here, Bob, in the weekend on Saturday. So many of these Iranian-made drones coming into Kyiv City. And interestingly, there was that summit, the Russian BRICS summit, about a week ago, where you had India, you had the United Nations Secretary General was there, China. And in that same city where the summit occurred, the Russians make drones, licensed, so using the Iranian plans, so licensed with the Iranian government. They make the drones in the same city where they had this international summit with the UN Secretary General, the guy, same guy who refused to go to Zelensky's conference. And some of those drones were hitting Kyiv, and it was extremely loud. The air defense was working, but for the first time, really, a lot of these drones were getting very close to the center of the city. And there was one moment on Saturday, I had my noise-canceling headphones on, probably stupid, right? But and all of a sudden, I heard that lawnmower-like sound of the Shahed drone getting closer and closer and closer. And, you know, unlike, you know, a missile, you can't hear it. You know, if it hits you, you never heard it coming. But with the drones, they move slow enough. You hear it coming, and it was getting closer and closer. And what do? You know, the best thing you can do is get behind a wall and just wait. And it gets closer and closer, like that lawnmower in the sky. And you just, you know it's coming. Mm-hmm. And then somehow it turned course at the last few seconds. And maybe 30 seconds later, I heard the explosion. I don't know in that particular case if it was hit by air defense or if it did hit a building. There were a few apartment buildings on fire in Kyiv. But that, you know, just to hear, you know, that sound, you know it's coming for, you know, some, you know, people who are living in this city. You just don't know who's going to get hit.
Yeah, I can't imagine being in that situation. It is scary stuff. Joseph, quickly before we leave you today, many political analysts are talking about American policy being at a crossroads, but that it won't necessarily translate to a turning point in peace negotiations. Nothing suggests Russia is ready to come to the table regardless of who ends up in the White House. Is that what your sources tell you?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there is an election tomorrow in America. Everyone's talking about it here. The consensus among Ukrainians is that we can wait and see, and that both the policies, as you know, stated by both camps, actually would lead to Ukraine negotiating. Neither policy is strong. You know, the Biden administration has refused to give Ukraine permission to fight back, and to have to wait for North Koreans to invade. And so, while the rhetoric is nicer from Biden-Harris, I think there's a pretty strong consensus that among Ukrainians that in practice. As it stands, the policies are pretty similar. And you know, I think we have to remember, you know, President Trump, when he spoke with President Zelensky in 2019, he threatened to withhold aid, and he was impeached on that. But, you know, Biden also threatened to withhold aid several years before. And Ukraine has been this political football for Americans. And so we are seeing in the past day, really, a lot of European leaders saying, hey, Europe needs to wake up. Europe can't rely on its security on domestic American political debates. And so I think that's happening. But yeah, it's a lot of people on pins and needles waiting to see what happens. But I think understanding that no matter what happens, there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done to convince whoever wins to support a real victory.
Meantime, please don't put on those noise-canceling headphones for a while. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Thanks.
They're on right now. I'll take them off now.
Thank you.